get into it now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your fit, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire? A sanctuary is a dwelling place. And see, that's what God has always wanted, a dwelling place. He wasn't happy back there with the just the buildings and the things. He wanted a body to live in, and he received that. So that's the point, okay? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord, and good to have our visitor back there with us. As we always say, when you come here one time, you're a visitor, and we welcome you. Two times, you're just part of us, because we don't have anything to join. We're not a something that you got to join. I was born into the Dale family, and I don't have to join it. I didn't have to join the body of Christ, because I was born into the body of Christ by the new birth. All right, so we say welcome to you, and all, and just kind of bear with us as we have our time in the Lord, and pray for us. The Lord would bless. All right. Now remember, we will be eating together today, so everybody is to stay in fellowship together, and there will not be an evening service this afternoon. So remember that, because we'll be eating together, fellowshipping together, and won't be having an evening service. Also remember, because of the Christmas time and the period of people being with their families and the different things, we will not be having a Wednesday night service this week. So just remember that. Remember those two announcements, and we will be here the next Sunday. We'll be having services, and then remember the watch night service starting at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So remember that. Brother Richard Wilson will be here, the Lord willing. About 25 or 30 of his people are coming. So we pray that the Lord would bless us and give us all a good time in him. So remember that. Amen. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, Leviticus 23 and John 1. Leviticus 23 and John 1. I think, did I get all the announcements made? Now, remember, we will be having our eating together, and we always try to give out special gifts to the people. We've been announcing it over and over that to try to make sure that you either, if you're going to be, was going to be absent today, to please let us know, you know, in advance to where that we could, you know, we would know you were going to be missing, and we would not, you know, we're not penalizing you for not being here today. We're just, because some are not here. Sister Milka and them are missing, and Brother Joe and them's missing, and all. But if you let me know today before the service is over, and you say, well, you know, so-and-so's told me to tell you this or whatever, then we'll make sure that everybody gets gifts and things. But if not, then the gifts will go into the box that will be here next Sunday. Now, you know, to where that we're going to start the love offering for the people who maybe have the needs and things, and it will be available next Sunday to be able to put your little money in a box, and that'll be something for you to do to help those that maybe are a little short on money around at this time, and also make sure you do that. But this, as I said now, if you know of someone that's not here and you know that there's something that's reasoned, then let me know. Because if not, then we'll put the money into the box, because that's the way it'll be, and we want to have all things in order for the Lord. Leviticus 23 and John 1. Two odd scriptures, but we will try to get to it. Maybe it might be a little lengthy because no afternoon service, and we'll be eating together. So if I pass over 12, don't get excited. I'll try not to go too far. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for an opportunity to be able to gather today. To fellowship together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith is a wonderful opportunity. But then to be able to sit down and, Lord, take a little time out and to rest on a rest day that was given unto us when you said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, not a certain day, but a time, but an honor of the resurrection. We honor today and we worship you. And we ask you now that you would come, Father, and just bless each and every one of us as we read your word. You come and you speak to each heart that your word would be revealed unto us. We love you and we thank you. Bless the sick. You promised it in your word. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. Thank you for being such an honorable God to do all things for us when we're not so unworthy. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 23. Now we've been reading this and we are speaking on the seven feast days, and we'll be taking a series of meetings for quite a while to get through these feast days. And I ask for your comment upon these things. If you would, to write it down and say, well now, see, we're going to be on the first, which is the Passover today. All right. But the next will be the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And then the next will be the Feast of the loaves, the different things, the Feast of the, you know, the different feasts that are there, Pentecost and then going on down. But just, you know, write down your comments and give them to me. I appreciate them. I'll do the best that I can to try to read them and, you know, understand and all, but give them to me ahead of time. You know, say, Brother Dale, I've been studying on this. I've been thinking on this. Give them to me and let's see what you're thinking about these feast days. We'll try to bring it around in a way, you know, into the message. Okay? Leviticus 23 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, and watch, here we come then. These are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in your seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now it's the Lord's Passover. It's not your Passover, and it's not my Passover. Okay? And I like, you know, the point of looking at it, if you'll notice that when you're reading this, all of the things about the feast and the things, you will see Lord in capitalization. See, it is the Lord's Passover. It is not just your Passover, my Passover, or somebody's time or something. It is the Lord's Passover. See, all right, because that would be the point. Now remember what we said our background on. Last Wednesday, we were talking about how that there's a difference in the Sabbath and the feast days. Alright, because the Sabbath was one day. You know, and on that time back there, it was the old Sabbath was Saturday. Alright? As I said, your Seventh-day Adventists are right about what they're talking about, the Sabbath day as far as a day, but when they try to make the sixth day or the seventh day, you know, moving it from Sunday to the first day of the week back to the seventh day to try to make it some sign of God, that to me is incorrect. I don't agree with it. I just tell you that away and don't argue with them about what they're saying. But as far as the seventh day, they're correct in what it was in the Old Testament, because it was the Sabbath day, a day. All right? Now, but the difference in it in feast days. In the feast days, sometimes you would have 7 days of feast. You know. So you would have a different thing in the feast days than you have in the Sabbath day. And remember too now, on the Sabbath day, you were limited, very limited, as to the amount of things that could be done. Because you could only travel like pretty close to a mile is about all you could move. 4,000 and something feet is all you could go on a Sabbath day's journey. You couldn't go out and you remember in the Old Testament, they found a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and Moses instituted there from God what to do, and they took him out and killed him. Because it was the rule, the law, it was set. Because it was a Sabbath, a day of rest. Alright? Now, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to you and I, because Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy labor, and I'll give you rest. This is an eternal Sabbath. That's why we worship in honor of the resurrection, not as a commandment. You don't have a commandment in the New Testament to keep any one day over the other. We're to be in the, we're to have the Sabbath rest of Christ on every day. But we honor the resurrection, see, coming on the first day of the week, which is be the number 8 when we get on over into the studies more of these feast days, because that would make it work out. But see, now the difference between the Sabbath day, you had certain limitations. Now, I tried to cover this, the background of some that wouldn't hear, a little point that really thrilled me, because God doesn't lay down things like we think. Now, we're going to hit one today in this on the Passover. The Passover was always to be on the first day, the first month, which is April. In the Bible terminology, the Old Testament, the Jews, April is the start of their year. It was always to be that way. But there was one time in the Bible there they had it on the second month. See? Well, God didn't get mad at them. He honored it. See? Because, see, he's God. It's the God of grace. There is no grace in the law, because the law says you cannot do. Don't do. If you do, this is what happens. That's what the law said. But under the time of the law, God gave grace to man in a great manner, because like a prophet was grace to the people, see. He was sent there to tell them the will of God. All right? But in even the Sabbath day, you remember? Jesus said, now you, if an ox or a sheep or something falls into a ditch, do you go out and look at it, in other words, and you say, okay, buddy, I won't do nothing today to get you out. No, Jesus said, get it out of the ditch. See? And then they got on to him because he was healing on the Sabbath, and he said, you mean it's wrong for me to do good on the Sabbath? You know, that was the thing that they were after to the letter. And he said, now you even lead your oxen out to water on the Sabbath. See? And even you had to do circumcision, because it had to be done on an 8th day process, and if it fell on the Sabbath, they done it on the Sabbath. They done a circumcision on the Sabbath. And even like the cleansing for a lot of things, when it would fall to be an 8th day cleansing or a time cleansing, when that fell on the Sabbath, it was permitted and God honored those things. See, because he's the God of grace and love. All right? Now when we get to that, we'll see. But now get the point. The Sabbath day, you was only to do certain things. But when you get down to your feast days, there was no servile work, which means no labor. You know, you cooked under the Sabbath. You was to cook everything on the day before, see, and all into it. But when you come to the feast, you had certain things that had to be transpiring, and certain amounts of work could be done. Now, we'll get to that to showing you, because I gave you the quote from the prophet that we believe that God sent unto us to bring the word, showing that there were 7 feast days, all right? And in those feast days, the keeping of that is the type of the 7 church ages. All right, now, when we get to that part of the message, I believe it will be more interesting as to just talking about feast days. Because that's what I'm trying to do. Not just say, feast days, we go through this, we go through the scripture, I'm trying to bring it down to where we are. All right? See, and in that way, we can be able to understand. And like I told you now, under these feast days, this is before, this is in Leviticus, this is before they entered the land of Canaan as the promised land. Right? The feast days were to be kept while they were in journey. Because that's where we're at. We're in journey. Alright? And we're to keep these things in Christ. Because we'll get to it maybe at the end. See, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, I think it is, it says that Christ is our Passover. Alright? So if we're going to talk about a Passover, then Christ is our Passover. That was what all of those things done. But now keep that in mind. See, in the journey, even the Passover was started while they were in Egypt. All right, we'll read that in a minute when we get to the scriptures. See? Amen. It was started in Egypt. But then these feast days was in the journey. Alright? But then we'll get to it where that the first thing that happens when they enter the land of Canaan, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not a type of the millennium, because there was wars and things in the journey in Canaan. It's the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, not the millennium as the scholars taught it to be. Why? Because you don't have war in the millennium. But you have wars in Canaan. Alright? So then, now, as quick as they got into Canaan, what was the first thing they done? Passover. They done the Passover. Then when they done the Passover, the manna ceased, and they partook of the old corn of the land, which is a deeper meaning of the Word of God, see. Alright, now we understand those things, but just trying to get a little something where it won't be such a humdrum of thinking about what we're saying. Alright. But now remember, you're to keep these feasts while you're in the journey. You say, are we to keep these feasts? Right. You say, but now wait a minute, we're not gonna do this and we're not gonna do that. Why not? When it represents something in your Christian journey. See, we'll get to it later, when they built the thing called the Baths and they sat out there for so many days in this little building made with wood. That's the type of this flesh. See? Alright? See, that's where God is dwelling with us. Alright? It'll be very interesting to get to, because even like Brother Brown said about the Jews, they don't understand the two loaves. See? They don't understand the little piece of bread that was put down inside of the box that they had. But see, we have the spiritual application. We're into the spiritual understanding. And we understand these things by the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now then, getting down to it. The feast days were started then. Go ahead and turn to Exodus 12. The feast days were started while they were in Egypt, observing these feast days. Now I want you to pay very, very close attention to the reading of the Word, because it's going to be valuable. And then you'll see when we get down into the message why Jesus would do certain things. In other words, why did he institute the communion, as we call it, after they had already ate the Passover meal? Where did he get scripture for it? Well, he wasn't. Now, wait a minute. See, you can't make God lie now. You can't make him change his mind. So you got to have scripture. See, to line up with, he had to have scripture. You remember in his temptation in the wilderness, he never used no gift to fight the devil. He used the scriptures. That's what we got to do. But that's what I want you to see. In that, you can see where we're at. And what we're doing. This is way on down, probably a couple of messages later. But you notice Jesus, he ate the Passover. But he never went on to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. See? Because he was crucified immediately after the Feast of the Passover. Because that's got to be right. So all of the things in order. If we understand it and not take our own concept or our old denominational ideas of what the scholars taught us, take the Bible and see what it says. All right. Then as we see what it says, then we can understand why these things are like they are. Okay? Now, getting into, as I said, we're coming to the spiritual application, but we have to have the natural application must be understood correctly for us to be able to understand the spiritual. See, we just take some, oh, that just means this. We type this, we type that, just be careful what you're typing. Make sure that you got a scriptural foundation. Because like this one brother used to type, you know, and he'd type this, and he'd type the road he lived on, and he'd type this, and how many people was in the car, and he'd type all these things, and old Brother Al there laughed and said, why don't he type his tag number on his car, because his tag number was 666. You know, so You got to be careful what you type with. You better know what you're talking about in the scripture and know where to place it, because it may come up, in a position that you don't understand. So let's go now to Exodus, which is the first time that you're talking about the Lord's Passover. Okay? And it's while the children of Israel were down in Egypt. We go to 12, the verse 1, so that we'll get the layout of the months for later. Okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses and in Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So that is April. Under the Jewish calendar, it is April. It is not January. That's under our Roman calendars, etc. The first month in the Israeli calendar is April. Okay. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. All right, now listen. And if the household be too little for the lamb, in other words, if you've got two people and you've got a lamb, you can't eat it all. What do? You find the neighbors that don't have too many people or enough, and you get with them and you cook it together. Okay? Because there's a reason. So you got to consume all the lamb. That's when we was in Israel over there, and I thought that was all we was going to get for supper when they had the shish kebabs with lamb on them the last night we were there. And Brother Dean and them, they kind of sensed it, I guess, and they just ate a little bit. And I said, hey, wait a minute, the Bible says eat the whole lamb. So just pass it down. And they kept passing it down, and I kept eating. Well, later I got through, then I found out the main course of a meal was a fish about this long. I ate it too, but we're supposed to eat the whole lamb. All right. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Okay, now it's got to be a male. Now, Aaron, couple weekends ago, he spoke on this real good. And I really enjoyed the message. I enjoyed Brother Harris. I've got caught back up at least that much. I enjoyed the messages while the brothers were taken while we were gone away for the weekend. Now what? So, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. That's where people misunderstand what Brother Branham will say, 14th day. See, because they say, oh no, it's the 10th. Well, to go back up above there, we just read that it's on the 10th day. And then the 14th day, you keep it up the 4 days, but it's kept up the whole time. It's there the whole time, and they don't understand why he would be saying that he's kept up 14 days. And you shall keep it up until the 10th day, a 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now that sounds like that you're only taking one lamb, right? But that's not what it is meaning. It's just meaning that everybody's going to, you got to take your, each house has got to have a lamb. All right, and it's not just everybody's got one lamb. Each house has got a lamb. We just explained that with the scriptures above it. All right. But see, then the whole congregation in the evening would sacrifice their lamb, All right? And as they would do, then they would have to prepare the lamb. Now, it don't sound too good, but, it's got to be done. Then you say, I ain't going to do that. Well, okay. That's your choice. They shall take of the blood, and watch, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. The blood showed the life was gone out of the animal for the people, right? Okay, now, we're not going to get into the applying of the blood and the token that's over about verse 12 or 13, because that's what it is, but still the point is, the lamb sacrificed, the blood on the doorpost showed you sacrificed a lamb. Amen. All right? It didn't show that everybody sacrificed. You say, well, they've got enough down this way and down that way. I'll just leave my house alone. No. You got in trouble. The firstborn died in your home if that blood wasn't applied. Is that right? Amen. All right. Now, that's scripture. See? Then they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs. Keep that unleavened bread in your mind now. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it, verse 9, raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. Now, his head and his legs with the pertinence, ever how you pronounce that word, which means the inner parts, in other words, the guts, plain language, intestines, thereof. All right. Now, you got to eat that. I'll just say a little bit about it because Aaron and I said, done a wonderful job, I enjoyed it. You know. In other words, you roast a lamb, every house. And if it wasn't, if you didn't have enough in yours, you joined your neighbors together because you got to eat the whole thing. Now, the next verse we're going to see, if you don't, you got to burn it. See, that's why we burn the communion bread. The communion bread is not to be kept over. You burn it immediately, or that night, see. Quickly you burn what's left over of the communion bread. You don't do like we used to do in the Baptist, and I'm not throwing off on them, but it's what we used to do. We used to order it in a bag and keep it for 3 months and put it in the freezer and just bring it out, you know, and keep using it. No, that was contrary to the Bible. Amen. You're supposed to take it, see, and you're supposed to cook the whole thing. You say, but Brother Dale, you mean cook the whole animal? With the guts, intestines still in it? That's what it says. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, you're not going to go out either. Right? Amen. Don't you think, like Brother Aaron said, don't you think that was a smelly mess that day? He said, well, I just can't stand that. Well, that's, the Christian life is not a life of flowery bed of ease. It is not that way. It is a struggle. Right. You say, well, I thought we as Christians were supposed to, you know, everything was taken care of. Where'd you get that at? You didn't get it out of the Bible. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. You didn't get it out of the Bible that when you got saved, everything was going to get new Cadillacs and get a new home and get all kind of, that's what they're preaching today. That's why the churches are full. But that ain't in the Bible. Show it to me. Well, God is a good God. God said, do this. Like we say, he said to Moses, take off your shoes. Well, what do you mean, Lord? It's hot out here in the desert. I'll take my hat off. Now, God wouldn't have never spoke to it. You either do what God says be done or quit. Forget it. That's what we are now. There's a lot of you that's lazy-like and laying out a lot. If I was you, I'd just quit now. Because it's death for you to stay with us if you're not going to be in the Word. Now, that's as plain as I can put it and as honest as I can put it, and I love everybody, and you know that. That ain't going to change what I get for Christmas downstairs. You done bought it. And I wouldn't care. It wouldn't make no difference whether you did or not. I'm still going to tell you the same thing. Because listen, folks, I'm honest. Hanging around, you're just a mixed multitude. And the mixed multitude always got the children of Israel into trouble. I said, well, brother, you're sitting well. Is it true the Christian life is not a flowery bed of ease? It's a battle from morning to night, and then when you get into bed at night, the devil's there tormenting you. I told my wife, she has a lot of trouble sleeping on Saturday night. I told her last night, I said, you sure slept good. Because I didn't. I'd sleep some and wake up. When I did, she's pushing me off the bed, and she generally stays on the other side so far away that I can't find her in the king-size bed, you know. But last night, every time I turned over, she'd move back over. I'd try to get her over, she'd move back over. Well, maybe it was because I needed to stay awake and do some praying. But, you know, but listen. Eat that lamb. And even though it was cooked, with the guts left, the hair left. You know, I don't know, Brother Dale. Well, okay, you go ahead and just, I just like to read the Bible and take what it says. But see, watch what the next now, and you'll see why we burn the bread, see, on the communion. and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Now, whatever you have left over, because that's your Passover now. Now, don't get to Passover is what I'm trying to tell you. Don't mix the Passover in the blood. Because that's your token. Now, are you listening? See what I'm trying to illustrate. Don't mix the Passover in the blood at this time. The blood was taken out of the animal. See? Now, it doesn't mean never drop. But the blood went out, you put that over your doorpost. Then you sat inside of there and you ate the lamb. The sign on the door was the blood was the sign of life that went out in your place. See, then we'll get down later to verse 13 where Moses says, this blood shall be a token. Alright, amen. But at this point, keep it straight. Once you cook that animal, there's no blood. If you did, you cooked it inside of it. You say, well, it's blood all... Oh, come on, listen. Don't be childish with me and I won't be with you. When you cook an animal, there's blood left in there. Sure, we know that, but it's cooked. Might be surprising when we get down to the 11 and find out what you got to do with it. See, listen, folks. This is a serious matter. You say, well, I've got this all cooked and I've got this all going and everything, but I'll let the rest of y'all eat of it and I'm just not too hungry tonight. Well, you don't partake of the Lord's Passover. Well, I thought the Passover was Him passing over. He's only going to pass over what you do according to His Word. When you follow His Word, then He can pass over you. He said, well, the blood outside was the thing to pass over. Well, why did He tell them to eat it all and to burn the rest? See? It's scriptural. Looks like a nasty thing in plain language. To take an animal and roast it. I was laughing at Brother Andre when he's over in Venezuela, I guess, or everywhere they was there. And he was telling about it one time, you probably remember it, and they killed a bear, which is not a bear like a bear over here. It's kind of a little sloth-looking animal he described there, what you call them. It's kind of a little tree climber, you know, looking little deal. And they just cooked the whole thing, and they had to cut it up and eat it. He said, you got a little hair in your mouth. But what are you going to do? Now, Brother Gary, if I had an animal cooked at my house, and you were starving, slapped to death, and you knew there was no other way to get something to eat other than that animal that I told you had been cooked with his guts inside of him and everything ready. I ain't eating it. We'll starve to death. No, all your good little prideish things goes out the window. Right? When you get hungry, you don't care what it looks like, what it tastes like, or what it smells like. Right? You eat it. Because if you don't, you're going to starve to death. You say, well, they wasn't going to starve to death because it... No, but their death would have been in them if they hadn't ate it. That's my point. If the children of Israel didn't eat the lamb, death was inside of them. And then that blood over the doorpost couldn't keep them alive. Because the blood over the doorpost was a sign that you had killed an animal and it went in your place over the doorpost and there you were. Now eat the lamb. Amen. See? Good to see a brother back there and sister Ashley. I can't remember his name anyway, so forget it. But listen. Let's go on to the next verse and then we'll get down to some things. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. All right, now. Eat it in haste, ready. They didn't eat it in their pajamas. They didn't lay around in, you know, in the bathing suits and the situations or whatever, or the whatever. You was ready to go. Because that's the way it's supposed to be in a Christian. Be instant in season. Be ready. See? Be in haste. Be everything ready. Everything's ready. You're ready to go. Because they were fixing to leave Egypt. Now, wouldn't it be something for your wife to come to you and say, honey, we've done everything. You know, we've cooked the lamb. We've ate the lamb. We've applied the blood. But you still got your pajamas on. Well, evidently, you ain't going. Get everything ready. Because that's a Christian experience. We're to live this thing 7 days a week, not just one day. God wants people at 7 days of the week where anybody can look at you and see you and say, there's a Christian. What does your neighbors think about you? What does the people you work with think about you? What does your husband, wife think about you? What does your mama, your daddy, what do you think about mama and daddy? This ain't no play pretty thing. It's 7 days of the week. Well, I didn't think we're supposed to do that to be a Christian. You show me what you're supposed to do. You're going to be a lazy, shiftly bum of a lady who'll see a people's rights. Oh, brother Dale. That's why Christians work. They're not lazy bums. Well, it was embarrassing to me the first time I drawed Social Security. A total embarrassment to me and my characteristics. As a matter of fact, I had to hunt the first time I drawed unemployment, I had to hunt the unemployment office. I didn't even know where it existed. Why? Because it always worked. Well, if that's in the natural, what about in the spiritual? Brother Brown told Joseph one time, his boy, or Billy Paul one time, he said, get out and wash your car on Saturday. If nothing else, don't be lazy. Okay, leave that alone, because meddling. But is it true? Remember, how we live is what we show in our Christianity. All right, now we're dealing with the Lord's Passover. Eat it, ready to go. Everything, your loins gird and all like that. You've done applied the token. You put the blood over your doorpost. The type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come into our hearts, because the life is in the blood. Right. Now you've offered the animal sacrifice. You've made that done. Now you've ate the animal, and you're ready. They've done went 40 years into the wilderness, and when they come down to the book of Joshua, now you're going in. Right. So for 40 years, they've done these things. Now, I'm going to say something in just a minute, so you get the point. So they go into the Canaan land. They were still eating the manna that fell during the wilderness journey. But as they did, go down through that reading in Joshua 5. See, when it come time, and they instituted or partook of the feast of the Passover to show that they had passed out of Egypt into the promised land. See, Passover. And remember, I said, it's the Lord's Passover. It wasn't because the children of Israel passed over. They didn't want a Passover. God had to put them 40 years in the wilderness and get rid of all of that bunch that didn't want to go. And the mixed multitude that went along. When he did, he had a group of people that wanted to go. They wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost more than anything in the world. Are you that sincere enough? Because it's death if you don't have it. All right. But see, when they did, they come to that place. And when they entered into the land and they observed the Passover. Now, observing the Passover was when it was instituted and they done it, ate the lamb and things, they then ate of the old corn of the land. Now, it was the land of Canaan, the old corn. Other people had raised it in the natural. Yeah, but it was a type. Because they said this is a land flowing with milk and honey. They said, yeah, but look at them. They said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Probably the sons of Kish coming down from Goliath. Coming down, I think it was from Kish, was the big guys. They was probably there, great big ones. But Joshua and Caleb didn't care what was there. They said, God told us to go. They weren't afraid. They were going to tackle whatever was in front of them. And see, if you're not that willing, then you ain't got much of a backbone to you. At least say what you believe. I hate people that won't tell you what they believe. Well, I've kind of got my own thought about that, but I won't tell nobody. You're trying to undermine what's going on. Tell it like it is, and then we can work it out. I appreciate that. All right. But when they kept the Passover, and they ate of the old corn of the land, the manna ceased. Your Bible just said, read it there. The manna ceased. What? The bread of God quit? No, it become the old corn of the land. Stronger. Now they could eat of the promised land. They could eat the grapes. They could eat the food. And they got there just at harvest time. Might be a surprise we get on over a little bit further when you better study this point. A lot of people never have understood me of what I taught years ago about it to try to get us to see about the unleavened bread. You'll find out one of these days the Bible's right. In the book of Ruth, Boaz never gave Ruth wheat. He gave her barley. It's 6 measures of barley. Because you can't add nothing to barley. Now the old corn of the land didn't mean corn necessarily. You know, well they just went in and ate corn. That's why it talks about a corn of wheat. In the Bible and the different things, you know. It's not talking about a corn of wheat. Corn and wheat don't go together. It's simply stating that when they got into the promised land and began to eat, probably the first thing they ate was the barleys and the things, according to whatever time it was for harvest. All right. Now, but listen. God is so gracious. I'm trying to cut it off. You think I'm not. But God is so gracious unto us and so wonderful. That he would lay down the types and the shadows to where that we would know to do this and know to do that and know what it means to us. All right. But in 2 Chronicles, if you want to turn over there about verse 30 or chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, you'll find out that it was in the time, I believe, of Hezekiah. And you'll find that about verse 12 through 15 is to get you the main story, but read all of it. They had not kept the Passover. And it was the second month. Or coming up to the second month. The first month had passed over. It was coming up the second month. Well, see, Hezekiah, I believe the one right now, he said, you know, we need to keep the Passover. You know, everybody said, well, we've got to wait. We've got to wait a whole year. And he said, well, look. I know what God said to keep it on the first month. But we're going to proclaim throughout the land a partaking of the Passover in the second month for this time. We're not going to make this a memorial forever. We're going to do it as a one-time thing. And we're going to offer and do the Passover. And if you'll read down through there, you'll notice verse 20, 18 and 20, it gets down to where that they were people there that were unclean. Read that and look at it. They were unclean. They had done things that was wrong. See, it was unclean to like carry a dead body. You had to go so many days before you could ever do this, that, or the other if you carried a body out and buried it. So there was a lot of things, just like the children of Israel, when they entered the promised land, there was a lot of people, the younger generation had not been circumcised immediately after taking the Passover. Or during that period of time, they circumcised all of those that were born in the journey, because it had to be right. But see, God looked over those things and winked at it. When he come down to this position there in Chronicles, as they were trying to get everything back for the temple worship, the different things to take place, he said, we're going to do it on the second month. And God, verse 18 and 20, it says that God forgave them of their uncleanness and God healed them, but he let them take it. They took the Passover. They didn't have to wait because it was unclean. Like Wade was telling, I believe it was here a while back, was telling that he come one time, you know, and had a little problem, and he was coming up to communion time. He said, well, Lord, I can't get to that person right now, but as quick as you let me, I'll go to him and tell him. Go ahead and take the communion. He said, I've got a problem in my life. If you're honest and straight and going to do it and straighten it up, go ahead and take the communion. But if you don't do it after you promise the Lord, your problems will double come back upon you. So don't play around with him. You promise to do something, go do it. Yeah, but I tell you what, Lord, it's hard on me. It's death if you don't. It's okay. See, this thing ain't no plaything. But see, God healed him, showing the goodness of God to accept the offering of, or the time of the Passover in the wrong month. Showing you there was grace back there to the ones, and the Bible said that he got where that said your offerings and things has become a stink in my nostrils. Is that scripture? That's why he said sacrifice and offerings I wouldest not. He got where he didn't even want to smell that stuff coming up. He said, but an honest and a contrite heart. You see, how did David get by with God? Because of having an honest and a contrite heart. David had a man killed to take his wife away, right? If it hadn't have been the prophet going to David, David was supposed to die. And he would have died had the prophet not went to David and said, David, you won't die. See, there was grace in the Old Testament. But not in the law of the letter. That's why Paul said it killeth. The letter today will kill you. But when you see it revealed, this man came to the position that he realized that they needed to take to have the Passover. And as they would do, then that Passover time would come, and they wanted to do it, and it was the wrong month. They done it because the man prayed, and God ordained it, okayed it to be, and even forgave the sins of the uncleanness of some of the people that was there. Why? Because we could stop on every one of them, right? But now listen. Before we enter the New Testament and the talking of the Passover, I want you to think about something. Now these feast days and these things that to Israel, they keep them. We happened to be there in Israel on one side of it where they had the barbitua, ever how you call that, the time of the little boy that came to the place, you know, to where he become to adulthood, and we happened to be able to view it actually right there on the steps coming in. It's wonderful to look at it to see what they were doing. We just saw the little bit, see. But there are a people, what is the word? Is a ritual of word would be okay to not be called it wrong. In other words, they kept all these things. Right. See? When it come to the Sabbath, they kept it. But you know what they done? They explained to their children why. Now, how many of you have ever explained to your children why you go to church on Sunday? Might save them a lot of trouble when they run into a Seventh-day Adventist to try to prove Saturday is the Sabbath. If you'd explain it to them. But you know what they done? They sat down around the table. And they explained everything in detail. The head of the house, the leader, you know, the oldest elder, It was their responsibility to explain to the family, see, of what all these things meant. And they just didn't do this every once in a while. This was done every year, on every time, the dates and all, everything was done, and they would explain. And they would cook this lamb, and they would do these things, and they'd explain to the children what that meant. How that God ordained for them to do this as they were coming out of Egypt. And about the Passover, and explained to them about the blood over the doorpost. They explained it, and it was the responsibility of the elder to explain that over and over every year. Hey, come on, kids. I'm sure everybody didn't enjoy sitting there listening to Papa talk about all of these things. But you know, after a while, they become Papa. They become elder, and it was their job to explain it. Right? So then after a while, you'd begin to catch on. I'm the oldest boy. Papa's getting old. We done listened to Grandpa explain it, and Grandpa died. Now Papa's getting old. I better start listening because I've got to explain these things. And they didn't do it. Well, we're going to have the Passover. Wham! Eat your breakfast. Eat it or get out of here. Well, if you don't want to eat it, just go on to bed. No, no. It was a joyous time to sit down and listen to an elder explain. You'll do this because on a certain time you come out of Egypt. The reason you hand this Passover or do this Passover is because that God instituted it, and it would be the certain date of the month you left on that certain time. You've done this Passover. You've done these things year after year after year. Those children listened until one day they had to explain it. One day they were the elder and they had to explain it. Over and over they had to explain these things. Year by year what each thing meant. And that's why they didn't have any trouble with it. See, when I read about that, wait, I remember doing a thing a few years ago on the breastplate. And I thoroughly enjoyed it because there's a lot of them things I don't understand. You say, Brother Dale, you heard Aaron the other day said he asked me a question I couldn't answer it. Well, my Lord, I got plenty of them I don't know. That's why I asked for your input. This is a big word of it, right? You know, your thoughts on these feast days. Write them down and turn them in. I don't know everything. I don't understand what some of these things mean. But you know what? If I'd have heard them year after year after year, you think them children of Israel had any trouble building the temple? Well, bud, I can't figure it out. Where's Gary at? No, Gary Krantz back there. Carpenter. He can skew a board 20 foot long. He can do all kind of things. But read building of the temple. And put it together for me. In other words, build it. Build me a little image, a little model. Don't take no pictures. Because remember, they didn't have pictures. They didn't have blueprints. You know, they had hand-me-downs. But all those hand-me-downs lined up. That's why the children of Israel cherish that word so much and still do. They could tell you today exactly to the letter where all of those boards is to be and what they're supposed to look like. Right? When I can't figure it out. I got this and sitting over here, and that no here, and this and over there, and that over here. I can't figure out where it's looking at the front or looking at the back. I'm honest. But if you heard it day in and day out, exactly to the T, how to do this. Now somebody handed down to Brother Gary how to do it. I don't know who it was, or he learned, you know, from books. Brother Donnie, he's a mechanic. He can figure out how to work on a car. It's because somebody handed it down to him. It may have been a book he read. Brother Tom used to be a certified welder when he was about 16 years old. But somebody passed it down to him. But he'd tell you right now, he remembers a lot about welding, but don't ask him to do too much right now because he'd be like the rest of us. It'd stick, it would mess up, it would do all kind of things. He'd have to learn over again because he done forgot. But now if he'd done it every day, Brother Tom used to weld all of the galvanized pipe in the Dorrville plant. When it come to the water lines, the gas lines, etc., Brother Tom was up there doing why? Because he was the best. But it's because he done it day in and day out. Now, you're getting what I'm talking about, the feast? If you have that feast explained to you, to the detail, this feast of the Passover, somebody explained it to the family. They didn't just go in and jump in, let's cook us a lamb tonight. No, they went through every step. Step by step by step. What are we doing this? We're doing this for this. They never have understood me. All of my grandkids learn how to carpenter work. Abby Grace is coming along. I talked to her about things. The other day I said, hey, we dropped a little old bub off the Christmas tree, and I said, I'm looking for that little old bitty wire. You know what? She's down looking for that wire. She's picking up sticks and handing them to me. No, it's a little wire. But see, she was learning that a little wire held that thing up. You've seen the pictures there at the house. There's a place in my floor and it's in the living room. There's probably 200 nails in one section. I had to literally build the floor back over because it would have fell through. But you know what it was done? Because the kids, the grandkids, 2-year-old grandkids sitting down on a graphic nail. Boom, boom. But you know what? They're learning. Matthew, go get me a 2x4. Well, he'd go get me a 2x4. But a lot of people say, what's a 2x4, Papa? Why do you want to? He didn't argue. He'd just go get me a 2x4. I said, there's some out there. There's 12 foot, there's 8 foot, there's 14 foot. Get me a 14 footer. Well, he didn't come dragging an 8 foot back. He knows what I'm talking about. Why? Constant doing it. You see, the children of Israel constantly, the head of the house explained these things over and over and over. Do it this, do it this, do it that. Now we're going to get to it where that Brother Brandon says, when it comes like the two loaves, see, they didn't even understand what that meant. But they done it. There was a box with some kind of a something down in it. They know what it meant. They done it. That's the natural. Type in the spiritual, okay? But each family, you understand, the head of each household explained to the family. It didn't have to be the preacher. The priest didn't have to go to every house and explain the Passover. We could spend a long time on that, talking about how you ought to raise your kids, but that, if you don't know how, you're in bad shape anyway. But listen. Now, what do you think about this? I told Richard to put a title on there, The title of it is the 7 feast days, number 2, the Lord's Passover. I told him, I said, just circle and put this in there because this is my Christmas message. I don't generally preach a Christmas message, or a New Year's message or an Easter message. I just generally preach what's on my heart. But now, think of this. The Lord Jesus was born into a Jewish family. We know He was Almighty God. We know that. Mary wasn't His mother. He didn't call her mother. He called her woman. She was not His mother. God was His father and His mother. God created the egg and the sperm or germ, or which one of the words you use, placed it into the womb of Mary to bury only that wound. Because Hebrews 10:5 said, a body thou hast prepared me. So a little baby was born a little over 2,000 years ago. And when that baby was born, he had to go through all of the rituals. Mary had to take him down and get him circumcised on the 8th day. He went through all of the things. And we find that when it would come the time of the Passover, they would always have just interlates together. So if you run into this, don't worry about it. Sometimes the Passover, when it would fall, it always, the Romans always capitalized on the feast days. Now, that's the best way for me to say. Because they would demand a taxation. All right? Because they knew they were going to Jerusalem for the Passover. Right? They were going up to do this, they were going up to do that. They knew they were going for the unleavened bread, they knew they were going to be there, so they just capitalized on it. It's okay, we'll make taxes. So it was time to pay the taxes. Joseph and Mary takes this little baby up to pay their taxes. All right. He's introduced. But do you think he knew what it was when Simeon stood there and said, Lord, now you can let me pass on because I've seen the salvation of the Lord? That little baby didn't understand what was going on. Right? Now, by the time he was 12 years old, and somewhere in the time after his 12, because Joseph was still alive up until he was 12, we know that for certainty. But up until that time, Joseph being the head of the house, little Jesus had to sit there. I gave you a quote there where Joseph was about 45 years old when him and Mary got married. Brother Ray was bringing to my attention not too long ago. And also that Joseph had four kids. Okay? There's two quotes. I gave you one there. The prophet said Joseph, he was a widower. His wife had died, which under that time it would have been fine under the polygamous part of they were there. He would have been all right for him to do that, but yet all things has got to be in perfect order. See? And that's why, like I talked to you before about it, that the reason that Joseph was chosen because Joseph was a just and upright man and God could speak to him and understand. But you see, if Mary hadn't had a husband, even though she was just engaged, they were already, that was as far as God, they was married. Because, alright? And in doing that, if it hadn't have been somebody to protect her, Mary would have been stoned to death quick as they found out she was pregnant. But God ordained that to be through a man called Joseph. And see, even in your lineage, we try to run a lineage down to Jesus. Be careful how you try to run your lineages and things. You got a lot of problems in there. You got some Rahabs, and you got some Tamars, and you got some problems trying to run lineages. I just suggest you don't try it too much. Because when you run your lineage, it don't come to Mary, because that wouldn't make it right anyway. The lineage comes to Joseph. Now, Joseph, in no way in the world, was the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the lineage comes to Joseph. But see, Joseph then takes over in this little boy. This little boy, he listens. Year after year, he hears Joseph explain these things. He explains about a lamb and how they crucified a lamb. How they put the blood over the doorpost. How they done all these things. And after he got where he could talk, he'd say, Joseph, now listen, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. When I said that Jesus, that Mary wasn't his mother. Now you know Jesus called her mother. You know that he called Joseph daddy. At 2 or 3 years old, he'd run around and say, Mom and Daddy. But when he growed in grace and knowledge, he realized what was going on. And that's the point I want you to see today. As he began to get a little older, he began to question the things of what does this mean? And Joseph was so gracious to explain. Right. Now, when Joseph passed on, you don't have any mention in the Bible about Joseph's children. You know, that was the words of the prophet coming down from history, etc. And you don't have any mention of Mary and Joseph having children after Jesus was born, but we got enough common sense to realize they did. You know. Alright? I mean, I'm just playing. You say, well, no, that didn't. Well, I'm just telling you. But I'm trying to make a point. See? When Jesus got to be about 12 years old in Luke 2, they went up to the Passover. And that's when that he rebuked his mother by saying to her, when she said, "Your mother and I have sought you for 3 days now trying to find your daddy and I." He said, "I must be about my father's business." See, she denied his own virgin birth by saying Joseph was his daddy. He straightened her out. But what was he doing? He was sitting in there straightening out them Pharisees. And they were astounded at his great understanding of what everything meant. You know why? Because he listened when he come up. He listened to Joseph explain the things. He knew what the Passover was. He knew everything to the detail. He knew the unleavened bread. He knew the loaves. He knew the different things, even the Feast of Pentecost and the different things. He knew all about those things because all of his life he'd been trained over and over and over. But you know, then there come a time after that he was able to explain to others. Right? He could explain to others from the time we have no record of him much of, they call it the silent years, from about 12 years of age, 12 to 13, up until he was there at about 29 and a half years old, and then you start the life of the Lord Jesus and doing. But don't you think that every time he heard those stories that he wondered what this meant? He wondered what it meant that they would have to kill a lamb. That some of these things would bear into his heart. And he would wonder. Yet he could explain it. He could explain in detail what each thing meant. But do you reckon he knew what was facing him when he was a young child? Even at 12 years old and understanding a lot of the scrolls, and do you think that he knew then that he would have to die for the sins of mankind? I don't. I'm just honest. The Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge. Yeah, but he was God, Brother Dale. Yeah, but he was in a human vessel. And as it was taking place, Jesus would keep all of those feasts. He didn't come to break the law. He came to magnify it, right? What did he do? Even in his ministry, when he healed the sick, he'd say, "Go offer the offering of Moses." When he would remember the commandments back there in Exodus, when he would say, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy," he honored those things. He lived that word to the letter of what it said. Right. But do you reckon he understood? But when he comes up to about around 29 and a half, because the reason I say that is, and I'll say it to where most of us here understand, but they've argued those things, and we've got to admit that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. Because the shepherds were up in the hills in there, and as they were up in the hills with their flocks, this time of the year it's covered over with snow. So then it's all out, you know, what you've been taught, that Jesus was born, and we don't believe that. We've never taken Christ out of Christmas. We don't have to put him back. Because we've always taught who Christ is. See, born in the city of David, this day is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All right? That was Almighty God come down in human flesh. Not a second person, not a third person. Amen. There's no such thing as a Trinity. Amen. There's no such thing as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Show me the Bible. Right. Give me one scripture. Right. You can't do it. Right. But see, it's been taught to us by organized religion. Right. See, just like Christmas has been taught to us by organized religion. It ain't nothing but a Catholic holiday. Amen. Christ Mass. It's the honor of the sun god, of the Roman sun god. The days getting shorter from now on for the next day or two, they're getting shorter and shorter. And then all at once, it's born the sun, the S-U-N. That was the Roman pagan holiday. And we're not against Christmas. We don't tell our children we let everything alone. Like I've always told you, you want to put up a Christmas tree, put up one. Just don't worship the tree. But if you don't want to put one up, don't put it up. But don't make no fun of each other. Don't make fun of those that do and those that don't. Don't make, just leave it alone. But leave it to where that you can understand. We don't believe Jesus was born in December the 25th or 24th or whatever, a day or two, it wouldn't matter. Lambs are born in the spring of the year. Somewhere around April or May. Right. See? Alright. Then Jesus being born somewhere around that time, he was born, say, in April, May, or something like that, and he was crucified in April because they proved it, the prophet proved it. See? April the 2nd, A.D. 30. Because see, our Roman calendars, let's explain just a sensible thing, our Roman calendars, we can't keep up. If you study your calendars, they've been changed three times that I can even find of it. And then also, not only you find that, but one time they put in, one year had 13 or something months in it to try to straighten back the calendar lineup of the stars, and another time one of them had only 200 something days in it. And see, you just keep switching calendars, you can't keep up with what's going on. See, because that's not the word. The Bible said don't keep dates and times and seasons. Alright. But you see, he was born in April, crucified in April. And he was 33 years old. So that meant he was born somewhere around in 4 BC. Because the calendars were changed to fit and put Christ on number one and say we're in the new time, you know, of Christ. Before and after. So he was born somewhere around 4 BC. If he'd born about 4 BC, then in AD 30, he would have been 33 years old. But he started his ministry, the Bible says, becoming 30. He didn't start his ministry when he was 30 years old. It says becoming 30. He started his ministry at 29 and a half. 29 and a half would give you a half a year, and then the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, you would have, you know, going on from that point, he started at 29 and a half, you'd have 3.5 years of his ministry then. See, it's right. Amen. It's very sensible. It's right. Because that was Almighty God coming down, and you can't break his word. He's just showing you. I mean, I'll prove to you over and over, and I've done it here with calendars and everything. Like I've done it at work one time trying to prove that the seventh day was Saturday and the first day of the week is when we worship. And this man, he finally got so mad at me. I was working there at Dorval and we was having it during the lunchtime. And this man got so mad at me until he got his pocket knife out. And he was just, I mean, everybody was scared. I said, didn't you see him with a knife? I said, yeah, what does it matter? He had a knife. He was just scared. He said, what are you doing? I said, sir, I just went down in front of him. Sir, it was quite a time. He was sitting down. I just went, Brother Collie's probably there. I said, what do you mean? I wasn't scared of that knife because God was with me. Now, outside of that, I'm scared of him. But I said, what do you want? What are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying my best to explain some plain common sense to you that you look at the calendar and Saturday falls on one end and Sunday falls on the other end of it. Sunday's the first day of the week. He said, oh, okay. Yeah. But listen, plain common sense lines up a lot of things in the Bible. But get back to the story. After all of the years that the Lord Jesus heard those things explained, and he began to understand in his life what those things were talking about, he began to understand that it was not just that they was to just offer a lamb. But that meant something else was coming. Every time that lamb was sacrificed, whether it be the one with the high priest and all the things, or the daily things, all of those offerings, all of those things, was just showing that there was coming a time. Coming a time that there'd be a real Passover take place. Coming a time when somebody could take our place. And don't you think of him as a young man as he looked at those things and he began to wonder. And even up as he would begin to come on up in life into 28, 29 years old, he would have a great understanding. He could explain the Old Testament things to the letter because don't you think he read? I can prove it to you in the Bible. He evidently had enough education he could read. He got it some way because the Bible said he took the scroll and read. Which was a rarity to a lot of people back then because he couldn't read. Peter and them couldn't even read their own name. But yet God used them. See? But listen, Jesus heard those stories all of his life. And Jesus began to explain those stories. He explained those feast days. That's why when it come with his disciples and he was walking with them, that he could understand what all these things were taking place. But here's my point. That's why I say it's Christmas. Because we don't play with Christmas as a baby. A baby in a manger is all they play at Christmas. No, it's Christ on the cross. There can't be a manger unless he comes across to follow it. But listen, don't you think he heard? Now, you wonder maybe why I read the scripture in John. What did it say? There's John out there. John the Baptist. He went into the wilderness when he was about 9 years old, according to history, because he couldn't be a denominational, stay with those Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and things, and come out of there with what God wanted him. If you'll read what I gave you and what was said there in it in John, it says that when John come out, he was told, he said, now, you are to introduce the Messiah. You're to introduce the Christ. And said, the way you'll know him, read your Bible, said, the way you'll know him, he said, because the Holy Ghost will descend and remain. Well, now, every year when Jesus would go up to the feast, 18, 20 years old, or whatever year it would be, he would look and he would see those things take place. Well, John was not necessarily there, but had he been there, he could look and see that Caiaphas could prophesy. Come on. He said, it's necessary that one die for the sins of the people. He was prophesying. Because that anointing would come on the high priest, and the high priest would prophesy. It even came on Balaam, and Balaam prophesied, and it was written in the Word. But John was told, the one you see the Holy Ghost descend and remain, there's the Messiah. John walked around there at Jerusalem for quite a while. No telling how long he was there baptizing people. Because he caused quite a stir. And he evidently even got the crowds growing for good until the Pharisees and Sadducees come out to see. I mean, it wasn't just a little old bitty guy down on the side of the road that he baptized one. He must have had a whole lot of converts that he was baptizing. And when he did, them high priests and things come out there. John could look around, he could see that high priest, and being a prophet like he was, he could see that anointing on that high priest. Come on. But he'd see that anointing leave him when he began to talk about crucifixion of the Messiah, or do this, that, or the other. He would see it go and come. But then when he turned around and saw the Lord Jesus, he saw the Holy Ghost there and he watched him. Watched him and watched him. Said, whom you see the Holy Ghost descend and remain, this is the one you're to introduce. Now watch what I'm saying. I laid down a point to try to get you to understand. The Lord Jesus every day, every year, he explained them things. He went through explaining it. He explained it to others because he'd come up to adulthood. But what do you think happened that day? When John turned around, saw a man come walking out through there. He turned and looked. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That very split second, here stands a man that come to a realization. I am the Lamb. That's what all these Passovers has been about. That's all these things I've tried to explain to everybody else. I know. I'm the Lamb. And I know that I must be crucified. See, when John, he knew John was a prophet because he said, John said, I need to be baptized with thee. He said, you just suffer that to be done. You're right. You need to be because you're a human and I'm Almighty God in flesh. But said, we got to fulfill the scriptures. Because the scripture said the sacrifice had to be washed. John had to baptize him. That's what the washing was done. But think about him just standing there all at once. Not understanding all about these things, but having thoughts of his own and wondering what he was doing. But when he said, behold the Lamb of God, he knew that there he was. He knew that he would have to be one day sacrificed. He knew what he was in the world for, to die. There's Christmas. Then it's not Santa Claus and a bottle of liquor or some kind of a present or a gift. It's Almighty God wanting to come down and live into your heart and mind. Well, Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, I believe, he said, Christ is our Passover. He seen, I must die. Now, let's say this much and we'll quit. What do you think happened on Calvary? When the crucifixion was taking place, what was some of the last words that he said? To show that he was the head of the house. As I said, the head of the house was to explain to the rest, to show that he was the head of all things. What was the last thing he said? He said, John. Mary was there. He said, John, behold your mother. Mary, behold your son. He didn't call her mother, did he? Catholics call her Mother of God. What is that? Feast of Guadalupe or something? The Mother of God. No, he wasn't the mother of God. She didn't supply no egg. God created both. As she, if Mary supplied the egg, that made God's body sinful. Come on, get your story straight. But he said, John, behold your mother. Now read what the Bible said. John took her home. The natural headship was transmitted to John, to take care of Mary. To do what? Oh, John, take your mother home now and explain what these feast days mean. You will be given the Holy Ghost in a few days and you'll understand. Mary will be given the Holy Ghost. The Bible said she is in the upper room. I mean, not the upper room. She was there when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, yeah. But not at the Passover. What they put in her now, you know. He said, take Mary home with you. And now it's your responsibility as the elder. I'm passing to your hands the eldership of the household. And you now explain to her what I'm doing. You know, John is recorded as being the prophet, the eagle, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is the prophetic scriptures, the eagle form. Because it's lion. Matthew, Mark is a man. I mean, Mark is the ox. Matthew, Mark, ox. And then Luke is the man. Because that's what it is in all the Old Testament there when he's got his face turning, one like a lion, one like a man, one like an ox, one like an eagle. All the scriptures is perfect in order. Read them. When Ezekiel seen that wheel in the middle of the wheel, he seen what was going to take place. All of that was the night. He said, now John, take your mother home with her. And from now on, it's your responsibility to explain to her You know, mamas and daddies, maybe sometimes you ought to listen to them children, because God might have chosen them to talk to you. They got the Holy Ghost, he can do that. There's my Christmas. As pastor, as your head, I try to explain to you what these things mean. You go home and talk about it around your tables at home. Talk about it and fellowship together about it. Because it was passed down to the head of the house to explain what this Passover meant. But I hope you understood what I say. And there come a day when all at once, when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Come on, brother. "Behold the Lamb of God." All at once it was just made known to him. All of that burning, all of that cooking, all of that killing, all of that thing. I am the Lamb. No wonder he could come on over there later when they said, "You know, sure, we know Lazarus will raise in the resurrection." He said, "I am the resurrection." "I am," he said, "that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. The great Almighty God." And let's stand together. Now the sisters are going downstairs to prepare for the natural eating. But I hope you take the story of what I'm talking about at Christmas. A Christmas message brings Christ to you that was hanging on a tree. Not hanging on a Christmas tree. Not a baby under a tree. But a Christ. A Christ that made a way now that we can explain what these things mean. Let it not just be a story of some endless point we talk about, but to see every day. Wait till we get over to the two loaves, the feast of the two loaves. See, we've got a long ways to go. Who's worried about time? Amen. Go ahead, brother. What do we got?
Number 145, I guess we're on.
Number 145, Red Book.
Jesus is so precious. Jesus is precious to me.
If you have a need, the altar's open. Good to have Sister Regina with us. Anybody have a need?
Precious to me. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus, how I love.
Do you? You love Him?
Let me cling to Thy guiding hand. Precious Jesus,
take and mold me.
If I pray, oh Lord, let me stand.
Hold it, Brother Dick. Our brother here, let me say, I didn't finish the message. Okay, I'll pick it up on Christ the Passover because I didn't get to the unleavened. Okay, you remember the unleavened bread was back there. That's why Jesus could offer the communion after the natural supper was ate, because he could take the unleavened bread and institute the new covenant. I'll give you that and then we'll get back to it later, okay? But our brother, everybody knows here that... Brother Jonathan. He's received his orders pretty quick to be deployed to either Iraq or Afghanistan, and is to be there in January. And they want us to pray with him that everything will be all right and all with him and his life through that part of it. And he won't be able to return until at least September. So that means the baby's going to get here before he gets back. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Okay. You got our word, okay? It may be spoiled when you get back. But he won't be back until the time when the baby is due in March. So we want to pray that God will be with him and everything, give him a safe journey, and all, and the whole family's coming standing with him and everything, because he'll be there in the military doing his duty and all, and we appreciate him. Appreciate all that's done, you know. We may not agree with all that they do, but still we appreciate what is done to try to protect us and keep our freedom here, because if someone wasn't going to fight, we would not be having our freedom. So we appreciate it. But we just want to all pray together. So let's all pray together with our brother here and with the whole family, and believing that everything will be okay. And when he does, he can get some pretty pictures and all. And then when he gets back home, we'll have the baby just as spoiled as we can. And he can stay up for 3 days with it crying. Or he can hold it. Right? We appreciate people that want to be sincere and be right, okay? So let's just pray and believe, all right? Let's all join together as one and believe. Father, we ask that you would be with our brother as he's going in now to being deployed. We know he's done finished his basics and things, Lord, and we ask that you'd take care of him wherever he's sent, that no matter, they can be changed. He could be sent down to Georgia just to help take care of us. You can change those things, because we know you can. But you say, well, now he's already got. We don't worry about what the paperwork. We know that God can change things and make it all work out, that he can be right here in the States with us. But whatever it is, we don't worry about it, because you're going to be with him wherever he's at. And no matter what the firing lines or the things or whatever goes on, then he can remember that there was a little group of people gathered together one day, and they prayed together, and they asked God to be with him and to take care of him and his whole family on Ashley's side here coming, and being to where that they would all stand here and believe and accept that you're going to take care of him, that the baby will be okay, and we will try our best, Lord, to spoil the baby when it gets here, because we believe you, we love you, and we thank you. And we commit our brother now into your hands under the blood that we were talking about, the blood that went over a doorpost was back there of a natural lamb. Well, we place the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over our brother, and condemn all the enemy in every form that could be in any way. And we ask you to complete this and bring him home safely in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You believe it?
Amen.
See? We've seen God do things to make it work out. Right? We've seen him take care of a lot of things because the saints prayed and believed. Under we have a miracle, we have a miracle working God. We have a miracle working God. We have a miracle working God. We have a wonder. Let's see, now get ready. Oh, we have a miracle. We'll just sing a little bit in worship. If you have a need, the altar's open until the sisters get through getting everything prepared for us to eat together. And fellowship. I love fellowship. I love the fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Don't you? He is my Savior, Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. Is he? Precious Jesus, how I praise thee. You love him? You are, he's all in feast because it's the feast of the Lord. It's the feast of the Lord. He is our Passover. You are all the precious Jesus, how I love you. Let me cling, Lord. Precious Jesus, God is taking mold us, Lord, in thy breath, Lord, let me stand. Who is he then? He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen. That's Christmas. A risen Savior. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he? He is Lord. Oh Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now remember, no afternoon service. We generally have a 2 o'clock service. Our service is on Sundays. It's 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Then we have a 7 o'clock Wednesday night. We don't have a late Wednesday service, a Sunday service, because our people travel so far coming to church. So we have everything close together. And you 10 and 2, and then we're through by 4 and gone home and all, and we appreciate that. But there will not be one this afternoon because we're fellowshipping together and all, and that's why I preached a little lengthier so that we can fellowship then. And remember, no service is Wednesday, so I say to you, Merry Christmas, not Catholic Christmas, but the risen Lord and Savior. He is the gift to everyone. Then next Sunday, then after that we'll have the Watch Night service coming in on Wednesday. Brother Tom. I believe it. Amen. I believe it'll come to pass. Because it'll be changed in a moment, a twinkle in an eye. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Now we're going to eat together, fellowship together. So everybody's invited to eat and have a good time with us and just fellowship together downstairs. Okay? So let's just pray and sanctify the food, and then we'll go downstairs and eat together. And have a good time in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day that we're living, the time, and thank you most of all for salvation. Thank you for the great gift of Christmas, to where it would be Christ in our heart, not a Christ mass. Lord, we pray that you would just help us to understand the things that was said today and how that we would see the Passover and see it made manifest among us here today and not back there as a ritual or a thought, but to see Christ living among us. Because you truly are our Passover. We love you and we thank you. Just have your way now in Jesus' name. Bless the food, sanctify it, and the partakers in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.